It's not been a bad summer, has it, so far for England's footballers. After the under-20s won the World Cup, the under-21s are now in the semi-finals of the European Championships. North West football reporter for the Daily Mail, Dominic King, is covering the tournament and he joins me now. How are you doing, Dom? All right?
I'm fine, thanks, Salty. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all, thanks. This has been a bit of a slow burner, this tournament, really, for England, hasn't it? After the goalless draw to begin with and falling behind to Slovakia in the second game, they've finally come good, I guess, really.
Yeah, they have. It was a bit dispiriting, the performance against Sweden. Very, very disjointed. They looked nervous. And then the nerves looked like they'd carried over in the first 45 minutes against Slovakia when they were trailing. But since they had a bit of a clear of the air meeting at a half-time during the Slovakia game, and since then things have just changed. I thought they were excellent last night. One of the best under-21 performances I've seen in 3 or 4 years, really, and they deserve their place in the last four.
I like the way you call it a clear-the-air meeting, because it's been referred to several times on the interviews I've heard as well, and I suppose it's the whole what goes on in the dressing room stays in the dressing room mentality, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was Swansea defender Alfie Mawson, he brought it up. We asked him about it after the game, just like trying to get his... a gauge of what the dressing room was like at half time, and he explained what had gone on. And listen, you know, it wasn't like sort of people, you know, saying you're no good at this or you're no good at this. It was like sort they decided to basically take ownership themselves and saying, you know, we are better than this. We can do so much better. And then AD Boothroyd came in after that and settled things down, and they came out in the second half as a different team. They haven't looked back.
They're certainly going to face a sterner test, you know, in the semi-finals, aren't they? I have heard people say, yeah, oh, it's all right getting carried away, but the group wasn't that difficult, really.
I think it's a bit disrespectful if people do say that, like, you know, they should have breezed through it. I mean, this is the fourth tournament I've been to of this level, and it never sort of goes as you envisage it. You always, like, think somebody will be so much better than the rest, and a weak team won't be so good, and it never sort of transpires. Slovakia have been really good. The two wins that they got. So if you and they're a well regarded team in Europe. So they've done well to get out of the group, particularly from the position that they were in. And you know, I think one of the key turning points as well is Jordan Pickford with his penalty save against Sweden, because if they'd lost that game, they definitely wouldn't have got through.
Yeah, I was going to come on to him actually, Dom, so it seems the ideal time to do it now. In terms of how good he's looked, I mean, there's a lot of excitement, obviously, here on Merseyside about him. The thing that's really struck me about him is his distribution.
Yeah, well, his left foot's like a bow and arrow. We were watching him in training at St. George's Park just before they went out to Poland, and the team has these sort of very, very tiny nets, and they put them on the halfway lines, and they do these drills, and he was basically pinging them left-footed and like 60 yards into the goals. And you see one of the passes that he did last night out to Ben Chilwell that led to the first goal, I think it was. But it was the save, you know, coming up with that save after the week that he'd had with all the speculation and Everton coming over to do the medical and finish the deal off, from to just sort of push all that to one side and come good at that moment. I think it says a lot about his character. He's a young lad, but he's really looking forward to to getting to Everton and getting started. And I was asking him about the size of the transfer fee, and he just said, "Listen, I'm not bothered about it. It's just a number. All I want to do is keep the ball out of the net." He's just got a really down-to-earth attitude and wants to do well.
What kind of lad is he? Is he a shy lad, or is he, you know, quite outgoing?
I think he's just sort of very straight and honest. He reminds me a bit of Jordan Henderson in some ways, that he's just sort of focused, and there's no edge to him, there's no sort of airs and graces. He's very humble, wants to get on with his work, loves playing football, loves the game, and just wants to succeed. I don't think he's certainly not from the dealings that I've had with him, he's not like sort of flash or, you know, or anything like that. He just, you know, I think he was one of the ones as well that was that was involved in that team talk, and you know, he's not afraid to voice his opinions.
And the other player, I suppose we need to focus on is Mason Holgate. How's he performed, do you think?
Well, he had a difficult first 45 minutes against Sweden, and then in the second half came up with a brilliant tackle to save England. Second game wasn't so good in the first half against Slovakia, but last night much more assured, better. And it was good to see him play last night, because I think if AD Boothroyd had not selected him, it would have done more harm than good to his confidence, because seeing him come out of the dressing room after the Slovakia game, and you could see that he'd had a difficult night, but it was credit to him because he knuckled down last night and came out well.
Let's have a look at things locally then. I know you're having to keep across this as well. The news that Liverpool have signed Mohamed Salah, it feels like it's been a long time coming. They've got their man finally.
They have, for a club record signing as well.
Is it definitely? Is it? It is.
Definitely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because I've heard different... I've seen 34 million. I didn't know whether they were trying to not put so much pressure on him and saying he hadn't broken the transfer record or what's, no, what's the fee?
I think Liverpool have not wanted to disclose it, but it's definitely a club record fee. I think it's 36.9 down, and then it could potentially get to 42 with the add-ons and things like that. But Roma were keen to release it last night, I believe, and you know, they've had to. They weren't going to get him cheaply because the Roma sporting director Monchi, who used to be at Sevilla, he's renowned in Europe for being one of the toughest men to deal with and maximising the money that he can get for his club. So he squeezed every last possible drop that he could get out of Liverpool.
Yeah, do you think Liverpool are getting a good deal there and a good player?
Well. His figures for Rome last year were outstanding. I think it was 19 goals and 15 assists, or the other way around, 19 assists and 15 goals. You know, if he reproduces that in the Premier League, then he'll be Player of the Year next year, because nobody sort of comes up with those numbers. He didn't have a great time at Chelsea when he was here 3 years ago, and he's sort of been a bit of a journeyman, you know, Fiorentina and then Roma and whatnot. But listen to the way that Jurgen Klopp's been so effusive in the way that he's spoken about him. He's got a vision of the way he wants Liverpool to play, and that's, you know, fast and dynamic down the flanks. And Salah will definitely add that.
And in terms of the other two ones that won't go away, really, it's Van Dijk and Naby Keita as well, isn't it? Where are we up to with those two?
Oh, good question.
That was a big sigh. That was a big.
I wish I had the answers for you. Van Dijk, it's not gone away. I mean, I know they've obviously withdrawn their interest in one thing or another, but all I would say is that he wanted to play for Klopp. I don't think that's changed. Klopp wanted him. Whether he can, how they can come round to it remains to be seen. But the interest in the player is would obviously still be there. You know, in terms of if he comes back on the open market tomorrow, would Liverpool want to sign him? There we go. Yes, absolutely. Keita, I think it's a bit more complicated because Leipzig. They're definitely in the Champions League after a meeting with UEFA this week. I think something to do with the branding of their club. But he's a key man for them. And they don't want to sell him at any price. But again, Klopp thinks the world of him and would love to sign him if he could. If either of those two players come, I would say you'd be seeing the club record transfer smashed again.
Yeah, definitely. And just before you go, I mean, the one for Everton to mention is that the Sandro Ramirez transfer, it's gone a bit quiet. Is that going to happen?
I don't know what is the delay in terms of the announcement, but as far as I know, and as far as a number of other my colleagues know, it's done. It was done last week. We've written stories about it. I think everything's been agreed. I don't know whether they're holding back just until Spain's interest in the Euros is done, but I was under the impression that they would have announced it this week. But it's, I would be amazed if something happens because, as I said, I think it's done. Well, I know it's done.